Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heart warmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
So when the U.S. dropped the atomic bomb on Japan in 1945, there was a 15-year-old girl who asked the question, what is the meaning of all the new power of science, technology, and industry that is good? And that same little girl, who's not so little anymore, Barbara Marks Hubbard, is our guest here today on Fired Up with CJ. And she's now in her 80s, and she is going to bestow upon us her wisdom and her answers to that very question that has been enduring throughout her life. And today we're going to have a call to action for all of you to join us in creating a new and a better world. So welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So when you think of what your book, Birth 2012 and Beyond, talks about an opportunity to make the world a better place, and it marks it to the end of the Mayan calendar on December 21st, 2012. Tell us about that.
Well, something is ending, and there's a lot of attention paid to December 21st as the end of a long calendar. And also people have certain sense of doom or fear of what might happen. And it's my prophecy is that there will be December 22nd after December 21st.
Yay! So, it's your birthday, too, so let's hope it's there.
And we have made a decision to celebrate what's being born, what's working, what's good, what's emerging in the world. Because while it's true that something is coming to an end, a certain form of growth, a certain form of consciousness, a certain form of conflict can become completely destructive to our civilization. On the other hand, as you well know, in health, education, economics, energy, environment, there are thousands and thousands of positive initiatives everywhere. And they don't get celebrated or connected or made visible. And we think that December 22nd should be our first birth day of what's creative. Just like we have Earth Days, we should have birthdays. And we will be celebrating the first one on December 22nd, 2012, with people forming hubs and circles all over the world, certain big events happening like Don Luis Miguel in Mexico, and different groups will all be knitted together in a global multimedia show.
Okay, that sounds pretty enticing. How do we get involved in this global multimedia show?
Well, you just go to birth2012.com, and if you can find out about it. And what we hope is you'll want to create your own hub to participate. That means you will gather a few friends together. You will do from a simple, very simple things in your own home or to a large scale event like they're doing in Tucson or Atlanta or different parts around the world. There'll be big events in Australia. So we want you to participate. Just go to birth2012.com and also order the book Birth 2012 and Beyond, because that gives you a full rundown on what it is.
So there's something as close as maybe our neighbors having something. It's maybe in where I'm located in Seattle. I should go onto your website. There may be a Seattle gathering, and if there's not, create one myself.
Yes. And that's right, exactly. And I will be in Seattle.
That's right, on September 5th. Right?
Yes.
Or 7th.
I think it's September, Let me look that up. I think I'll be there from September 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, wow. Lucky us.
Okay, I'll be at Linwood. I'll be at Bellevue. I'm going to be at East West Bookstore on the 7th. Unity Seattle on the 8th. I'm doing a lot of Unity churches.
Oh, excellent. So stirring us up to have you become hubs and then join the circle of other people who are celebrating the birthday of our, of all that's good. I love the idea of, because that's what a birthday really is, right? You celebrate your child and all that's good. And you think, you're thankful that the child was born.
Yes, exactly. That's right. That's exactly right.
You
want to celebrate also people's creativity and their desire to express and create more of who they truly are.
Mm-hmm. Love it. All right. So I want to talk more about your book, Birth 2012 and Beyond. And you talk about, and I'm going to do an awful job pronouncing the name, Teilhard de Chardin's Influence Center. Did I pronounce it correctly?
Well, you didn't do too badly. It's Teilhard.
Teilhard de Chardin.
De Chardin.
Chardin. Okay.
Yeah, very good.
Tell us how this gentleman helped shape your work.
Well, he was a French Catholic paleontologist, a Jesuit, not published by the church in his lifetime, in fact, silenced by the church. But his great achievement was discovering that God is in evolution, that evolution is an expression of a process of creation leading to higher consciousness, greater order, greater freedom, greater complexity, and he saw that we're heading towards a connectivity on planet Earth that could actually shift consciousness. And that was way back, I guess he wrote this in the 50s, before internet, before we had all of these communications potentials. So what we're seeing, and what I was inspired by Teilhard, is to realize that evolution is a sacred mystery story, and we are part of it. And the second part of it is that each one of us has an impulse of that evolution within us. Mm. And it expresses itself in love and creativity and the yearning for life purpose. And it shifted my life from being a housewife in Lakeville with five children who was a seeker to being what I think of as an evolutionary woman or a co-creator.
Mm-hmm.
Or a person with a tremendous hope and expectancy for life and my part in it.
Mm. So it kind of shifted your perspective to say, wait, I'm supposed to evolve here beyond what I'm doing right now, and I know it's possible. He's talked about it, and that's part of what I'm supposed to do. when it came to you as a housewife, is that what it felt like, or what was the impulse
within
you? Yes.
Well, I'd had five children, and I was in my early 30s. I'd gotten married when I was 21. But there had been this rising up in me of something more that I was to do. Mm-hmm. And I became sort of a little bit depressed because there was all these children that I loved so much. Mm-hmm. But this feeling of the need for more expression was actually a driving force in my life. And until I read Teilhard, I didn't know what it was. And the Freudian analysis is neurotic.
Well, when you said that, it gave me chills all up my arms. Wow. That's really true. Wow.
Because in those days, it was before even the current women's movement, it was, I was part of that generation that no matter what education you had, you got married and you had babies.
Yeah.
And you took care of your husband, and I did. And I actually did it. I wasn't a cultural rebel. I was actually a very... I was a deeply spiritual seeking support to my husband and my children, but the depression drove me to reach out for more. And I think it was Abraham Maslow's work toward a psychology of being that said all fully functioning, beneficent people have one thing in common, chosen work they find intrinsically self-rewarding and of service to others. Mm. So I realized, even though I loved my children and was a full-time mom, that wasn't exactly my calling.
Mm.
It wasn't my life purpose. And then so I said, you're not neurotic. You just haven't found what you were born to do.
Mm.
And my sense is everybody has within them that deep signal that there's something unique they're born to do, but it's not so easy to find it.
Yeah, but it's an evolutionary, if it's an evolutionary impulse and it's part of our DNA and it's about tuning into it, right? And we're all possible, it's all possible for us to tune into it, right? If it's part of our DNA, it's there.
That's exactly right. And now, you know, this uprising on planet Earth is now so many people actually know this. You know, we've had in the last 50 years, you think of the whole human potential movement and the transpersonal psychology and the all these, like I'm on the Shift Network, I'm talking to thousands and thousands of people all the time. Well, this didn't happen before. So in the last 50 years, the personal growth, the spiritual growth, the transformational movements, have reached millions of people. The books that have come out, you know, entire libraries on personal transformation.
I know.
So,
I unfortunately have to wrap up, but I have to say that I'm so honored to talk to you. It's like talking to Picasso, you know, someone who fundamentally shifted. No, because like you're the person who we have you to thank for that, because it's really you who shifted our eyes to see the art and the beauty of this world. And for that, I'm very thankful, because you've touched me and probably millions of other people. So we are lucky to have Barbara Marks Hubbard, and we are going to talk about the before and after picture of Occupy Wall Street and the Middle East uprisings, and answer the question on whether we seize the opportunity for positive change or not. Make sure to sign up for Barbara's class on September 7th at www.eastwestbookshop.com, where she will be talking about her book, Birth 2012 and Beyond. And make sure to join the venture every week on Fired Up with CJ as we explore the many paths to becoming happy and to create a better world. Friend us on Facebook. We'll be right back.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
The Ascension Foundation, serving to build an interdimensional community. The Ascended Masters invite you to join them in co-creating this mission. Allow the Masters to lead the way in activating the wisdom of your heart consciousness and raising your vibration. You can communicate with them directly by attending apportation events and classes in mediumship, crystal light energy healing, alchemy, master studies, past life regression, and more. For a schedule of classes, workshops, and special events, visit theascensionfoundation.com. That's theascensionfoundation.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Did you know most coffee, not all, have hidden dangers lurking in it? A recent investigation into grocery store coffee revealed three dangers. First, modern coffee farming produces dangerously high acidity and caffeine. Second, Mold content in grocery store coffee contains dangerous toxins. Yuck. Third, government agencies have found grocery store coffee containing 400 times the carcinogens allowed in drinking water. You will be relieved to know that Camano Island Coffee Roasters takes the worry out of your sip of coffee. Imagine how your coffee tastes without mold, carcinogens, or poison. Get your free coffee report, The 5 Hidden Dangers Lurking in Your Coffee Cup. Visit NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com to get your free copy now. That's NakedTruthAboutCoffee.com. And check out Camano Island Coffee Roasters.
Transformation Talk Radio.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue.
Death, destruction, people occupying Wall Street, Middle East uprising, the euro crashing. Are we depressed yet? is there a possible upside? And is our current system structured in a way to create the highest societal good? Our guest today on Fired Up with CJ, Barbara Marks Hubbard, the co-founder of the Association of the Global New Thought, offers a hopeful view on how these kind of chaotic conditions create an opportunity for us to redefine responsible and ethical use of power. Welcome, Barbara.
Thank you. That was very well stated.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. So when you think of some of the biggies like Occupy in the Middle East, I mean, when you look at that, what are the positive outlooks and opportunities that exist from your perspective?
Well, I think both the Occupy movement and the Arab Spring were uprisings of a yearning for freedom, for democracy, but more than the competitive democracy we now have, particularly in the Occupy movement, they were struggling for what is a new culture that is equitable, that is sustainable, that is respectful of all its members, that is creative, inclusive, and they always were criticized because they weren't clear exactly what they were against.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they were against the misuse of financial power and so forth, but even that, I would say from what I was able to gather, was a yearning, not mm-hmm. just in order to defeat a certain type of structure that we have, but to create a new culture. And it was so maligned by some of the press, particularly Fox News, it was ridiculous. They tried to, if there was anything about a struggle or if anybody took a drug or anything like that, that was it. Mm-hmm. Missing the enormous impulse of groups rising up overnight, in all over the country and world, you see, that type of media doesn't understand it. They are, I call it the infantile nervous system of the media. They're dead on empathy. They don't catch hold of what's emerging.
Mm-hmm. Right, they're only catching the fear.
They
fear
catch
and
the
terror.
Fear, they catch the conflict, or they exaggerate it. If it's not there, they'll make it up. And they depend on it, and they also have a view of society basically is made up of separate individuals striving to win over each other. So it's very hard for them to see anything that is yearning for a new civilization. They're insensitive.
Okay, here's my curiosity, because I feel that way, and then I think, well, okay, this is just balance and harmony happening, right? This is the natural tension and friction when balance needs to occur. So, there are people like yourself, who fight for the good and the positive, and then there's Fox News and other people who are fear-based. I mean, how do you make your peace with that?
Well, I have an evolutionary perspective, and you have to have a deep time perspective. And you look back at the origin of the universe in a 13.7 billion year effort, and you turn, energy, matter, earth, life, animal life, human life, and you place our situation in that story, you begin to see the pattern that in every type of evolutionary shift, there were crises and problems that were driving the system either forward or toward extinction. And what you see in our current civilization is a crisis that is preceding transformation. So, and one reason I think this is not just between good folks and different political views is that there is a carrying capacity of planet Earth. We are a finite planet system. Let's say we have 7 billion people. If we were to continue growing a population, which isn't possible, but if we were ever to double the population, again, we would kill all life on the planet. And the energy, the global warming and the climate change mathematically is showing up as very dangerous. And the financial structures are not stable. So we're facing some genuine evolutionary crises that could lead to the destruction of our environment. So that, you see, is not just between good folks and bad folks. Then there are those who are sensitive to what's creative, emergent, cooperative, and loving.
Before you want to go on, I want to actually point out something that I think is so fascinating and wonderful about you. I asked, you know, how do you make your peace with this? And what's so interesting is you even actually seem to make your peace in positive spin on Fox, which you said advocating extinction and people advocating moving forward. And it's unclear, you know, and in some ways, if you were to talk to the people at Fox News, they would argue that you're leading it towards extinction.
I would never say they're advocating extinction. No, I don't think that anybody in their right mind at all is advocating extinction. I think that certain forms of political views of more economic growth, more independence, more power actually leads to the destruction of our environment. That's what I think. I'm never criticizing opposing views of advocating extinction. I don't think anybody is consciously doing that in their right mind.
What I heard, though, what I took away from what you were saying is that, you know, there's forces for extinction and forces of moving forward. It's a matter of perspective on who's doing which thing, right? I mean, Fox would believe that they're moving things forward, and you.
I think that's true. And then you have to have a certain objective. I would like to say science-based understanding, let's say, of climate change or global warming as a danger.
Yep.
And certain things, no matter what your political opinion are either so or not so.
Right.
And let's say the scientific discussion of them is right. Now, there have been global warming phases before in geological time. So it's not only that humans are making some mistake, but this time we're here. And we are contributing to it, and it is affecting our environment. And what I like about this is that there are certain facts about it. And as these facts get demonstrated, let's say the waters rise and we have vast migrations and we have the effects of climate change on humanity, it will just show up. And what we're looking for is people intelligent enough to not only help avoid it, but to start creating more of clean energy, more of cooperation, more of sustainability. Now, the thing I like about this view is that it's a certain objective quality to it, because we're going to find out. And my definition of evolution, conscious evolution, is evolution by choice, not chance. So what I'm in favor of is as much investigation, as much information as we can get to a new condition. We haven't faced a planetary evolutionary crisis before, ever. So there really are no experts in how to get through this overgrowth, overpopulation, and global warming. We don't have a full-scale agenda to get through it. But what I've learned from my research is that if you piece together the positive aspects of solutions, you find that there is a pattern of how best to get through this to a world that is more equitable, more sustainable, and more creative. So by putting forward what they call in evolution a strange attractor, that it's not just that everything's being taken away from us, but that we're being pressed to evolve into a more cooperative and creative world. What about that? What about looking at the purpose of these problems as a driver towards a better world?
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think that when I read your book, I always tend to think of things, try to spin things towards figuring out the positive, and that was the most best possible perspective that I, for me at least. I mean, you go through life with your own illusionary lens. If you're going to have your own lens on the world, why not have that one? You know, to think like even in the hardest challenges that we face, there is a golden gem and something for, like as you said, our evolution and growth. And in every single time a challenge occurs, as you're saying, it gives us an opportunity for creating something new, whether it be a new culture, a new version of ourselves.
Exactly. It's in our personal lives, any crisis that any of us have. I mm-hmm. always look in my life for what's emerging.
Mm-hmm.
What more could I become out of this crisis if I could respond mm-hmm. creatively to it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that change in attitude changes you and mm-hmm. changes your response and changes your life. So you see, this one of the phrases we use in my Agents of Conscious Evolution, or ACE training, is that if it's evolution by choice, not chance, then you want to be causal.
Mm.
So if you have a crisis or a problem, or you're depressed, as I was early on there, instead of saying, oh, I'm depressed, or I take, some pills to lessen my depression, or I say, oh, something more wants to be expressed in me. What is it?
Mm.
Well, just that difference in attitude towards depression or towards illness or towards a family upset where the children aren't doing well or somebody has died. I mean, terrible things. You start looking, what is the deeper soul purpose here?
Mm.
Now, this isn't Pollyanna. This isn't saying everything is always good and pleasant. It isn't.
No, yeah.
It's very painful. But if you look at the work of, let's say, James O'Dea, when he...
Oh, we can't actually go there. We have to wrap up the segment, but we are
going
to continue talking about this. And I think it's a perfect lead into the next segment is...
Oh, okay, very
how
good.
How do we actually be the change that we want to see in the world? How do we be causal, as you said? So in the next segment, Barbara Marks Hubbard, we will talk about how you can be a co-creator in creating a better world. Join us for the quest of adventure and fun by subscribing to a weekly show on Fired Up with CJ on iTunes. We'll be right back.
Stars shining bright above you. Night breezes seem to whisper.
The hit radio show Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina is energizing people everywhere to rise to the occasion of their lives. Do you feel overwhelmed by all the information out there that's designed to improve your life? Do you feel that you're destined to become more? Are you sometimes afraid to fully express who you are? Let Authenticity Rising with Christine and Sabrina help you to step into true empowerment, leading you to greater joy, ease, and abundance. Co-host Christine Upchurch and Sabrina Fritz invite you to join them every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio and rise to the occasion of your life.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Thank you. Connect with your personal guardian angels, guides, and departed loved ones at Angels and the Afterlife, an enlightening day of answers with Doreen Virtue and John Holland on September 22nd in Seattle, Washington. Audience readings will be given throughout the day, so reserve your seat today by calling 800-654-5126. Discover how guardian angels support, heal, and guide to enact positive life changes. Tune in and increase your innate intuitive abilities to receive signs and signals from the other side. Seats are limited for the Angels and the Afterlife event, so call 800-654-5126 to reserve your seat today, or online, visit hayhouse.com.
Licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono now offers her services through private sessions over secure online video chat or voice-only phone calls if you prefer. You can even choose to use instant messenger or email exchange. Go to KathyIsIn.com to learn more about licensed psychotherapist Kathy DeBono and how she and her unique brand of intuitive counseling can help you achieve the change you want to see in your life. KathyIsIn.com.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Star shining bright above.
So, how did a stay-at-home mom, we now found out a depressed stay-at-home mom, five kids, change your trajectory of your life to become the mother of the consciousness evolution, and then further became nominated in 1984 for the vice president and the U.S. Democratic ticket? It's pretty amazing, don't you think? Barbara, welcome back. We have Barbara Marks Hubbard here, and she is going to offer motherly advice to us all, teaching us how to be a force of good. So welcome back, Barbara.
Thank you. I call it the big yes. There's an inner yes.
Yeah, a big yes. So that was, so what was, it was a yes to your, you said earlier, a yes and an erotic yes, which I love. It was an erotic yes for a feeling for more expression, or what was a yes to?
Well, the yes to was that if I was depressed, and I read Abraham Maslow, and he said that fulfilled and actualizing people all have chosen work they find intrinsically self-rewarding, or vocation, or life purpose. I got a clue that I hadn't found life purpose. I was a mother and a wife, and I was fully engaged in that, but it wasn't my deep calling. It wasn't what I was born to do. And that's true of many, many women. I mean, having children is a marvelous thing, but it used to be the purpose of our lives. Now women are all over are recognizing that they have a creative impulse. But when it happened to me in the late 50s, it was interpreted as neurotic. And so I had to work my way through that feeling of something's wrong with me. And I did, by finding the right guides. And Abraham Maslow was a guide to me. So I read the book, then I called him up and invited him for lunch. I said, he said, you have to go for what attracts you. So he attracted me. And I read the And so, you know, you have to be bold. One of the things about following this inner impulse of creativity, I call it a pioneering soul. Mm-hmm. It's not just handed to you on a platter most of the time, mm-hmm. and particularly in those days, and when the whole woman's movement had hardly blossomed. So those of us who said yes now are really pioneers of the new in this phase of human endeavor. There were many times of pioneers, but this type of pioneer is a pioneer in consciousness, a pioneer in creativity, a pioneer in what's emergent. That's another very good word. Some people are much more sensitive to what's emerging within themselves and the world than other people are. It's like an athletic gift or a musical ear. an ear to what's emergent is a very, very important thing.
And for me, it came in that way. Like, it felt emerging, like I'm not supposed to be doing this. But honestly, as a mom, the thing that, and what you'd said in the earlier segment, is that, well, how do I address the dilemma of wanting to support my husband and the children and still reach out for more? And what was your answer throughout? Because, I mean, I don't know how old your kids were when you decided to pursue your passions.
Well, they, you know, there were five of them, so some were in their early teens, and there's one that was two.
Oh, my gosh.
And, well, what really happened is I found a way to express my life purpose in my work. And I got a divorce. I had a new partner, and I moved my five children to Washington, D.C.
Wow.
And I created the Committee for the Future. I acted on a discovery that I had a vision of the future. And Teilhard de Chardin was part of it. Mm-hmm. Buckminster Fuller was part of it. You know, all of these different, Abraham Maslow, Sri Aurobindo. I loved the American Space Program, the cosmonauts, the astronauts. I began to see we're entering a new phase of evolution, and I was part of it.
So was the pull and impulse for something so great that you thought, you know, this will benefit the kids. I don't know how. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I just have to do it. I mean, what was your, how in your mind did you make peace with the conflict that you may have felt or may not have felt, or maybe you didn't? I mean, that's mm-hmm. always the personally for me, that's always the internal conflict I feel.
Well, you know, I had what I think of as a deep expanded reality or spiritual experience where I really saw that the planet was going through a crisis of birth, of a new, and that I got a deep vocational calling, which was go tell the story of the birth of a more co-creative humanity. And it's a really great gift when you get a deep vocational calling.
Mm-hmm.
It's an act of grace. You can't force it. But when it happened to me, I went and told my husband, and mainly told my children, that their mother was a pioneer. We need to go forward. And my little 9-year-old son, I'll never forget it, he put his arms around me and he said, "We know you love us, and we know you're doing what mothers are supposed to do. You're creating the future for your children."
Oh, that is beautiful. Oh, my God. Okay, tears forming.
And then I said, "Well, I want you to come with me." So I took them all with me. So, you know, it was like they then moved from Lakeville, Connecticut to Washington, D.C., and my sister lent me a house that she and her husband had, and I was able to form the Committee for the Future and invite colleagues from all over the world. We were working on how do you identify positive options for the future.
Yes.
And then Buckminster Fuller suggested I run for political office, and you know, wanted me to run. He said women have to bring forward positive options into the political arena. So he asked me to run for president, and finally I ran for vice president to bring forward the idea of finding out what works in America.
Yes.
And then I got to the Democratic National Convention with a simple thing. I want to create a peace room as sophisticated as a war room.
Mm-hmm.
To map, track, and connect what's working in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It was a miracle, but I did, was the other woman nominated.
I think that's unbelievable, honestly. It really,
that's
when you know that there's some divine force. In addition
yes.
to, you know, there's something powering your vocational arousal, right? I mean, something true. You know, there's something else powering that, you know, aside from yourself. And that's what, like you said, there's grace that would occur. And what a beautiful thing. I mean, if you were to be the vice president today, nominated, and I wish you were, honestly. I know Mitt Romney's looking. He may not be your type.
Oh, well, I think he's got Paul Ryan. I don't think I'm in the running.
But I mean, what would you want us? What would you ask us, the president, to do, or what would be the message you'd want to deliver
well,
today?
I, you know, if I were vice president or able to advise a vice president, I would really say, let's set up a sophisticated mapping, tracking, and communicating function for innovations that work,
mm-hmm.
and let's start being sensitive. Like we're sensitive to any enemy that could defeat us anywhere,
right?
You know, let's be sensitive to innovations that can evolve us.
Mm.
And let's have a, well, I call it a wheel of co-creation. Let's have a synthesis, if there's something in energy and there's something in health and there's something in education, there are connections among everything that's working. And so I would set up an office and a team whose entire purpose was to inform the president and the public of the United States and the world of what we're discovering that's working for a sustainable, evolvable, compassionate world. And then I would invite our ambassadors from every country of the world to form their own peace rooms, their own centers to discover what's working. And I would connect them all. And I would find that in 4 years, we could discover the emerging world.
Mm. All right, you're elected.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's, you know what? This is not a big metaphysical genius idea.
No, it's just practical. I mean, it's practical.
It's actually
too,
so much
right?
more practical than what we're doing. I happened to meet Joe Biden recently at a Democratic National fundraiser, and he was, you know, weary with everybody giving questions and questions and questions about crises. So I raised my hand, and he said, "Yes, what's your question?" I said, "I have a suggestion." And he looked surprised, you know. And I said, "Why don't you do what I did when I ran for vice president? Why don't you set up a function of finding out what's working in America? And you'd be the one communicating that." "Oh, what a great idea," he said. And
well, I'm sorry, that's kind
smile,
of a yeah,
and he looked, suddenly he looked, you know, relieved. There was a moment of grace for him. Now, clearly that's, and you know, he said an interesting thing. He said the president could not do that because he wouldn't dare look optimistic.
Oh, no, that's awful. That's why we have Obama in there. We wanted optimism. No, that's an acceptable answer.
What he said was there's so many crises. It's like the president's not supposed to look weak. Well, he can't look overly optimistic, according to what Joe Biden said, because then it would appear that he's not serious enough about the problems.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and I think when Obama was campaigning, he was able to do that, you know, be the change and hope. But when you get in there at the top of these pyramid competitive structures, both within the U.S. government and among nation states, it's extremely difficult because it's structured into competition and power and domination.
That's a wonderful note. Unfortunately, we have to end on that awful note, but we're going to be right back. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit us at drdarvish.com. drdarvish.com.
Just stop what you are thinking right now and ask yourself, if I could have anything I desired, what would it be? Now expand that energy beyond anything you have ever imagined. That energy, that is you. What if you could have access to that all the time? Curing the incurable are for those that desire a different possibility with their life and their body. Does that excite your molecules? Well, check out Liam's website at liamphillips.com.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame.
Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Transformation Talk Radio.
Only you can make all this world seem.
That's right, only you can make this world seem right. All right, now I'm going to throw a bunch of terms at you. Vocational arousal, I can't even say it, it's so racy. Vocational arousal, super sex. It sounds X-rated, but not only these things, not X-rated, although provocative, they are G-rated ideas that, in fact, you should go teach your children. So today we have provocative visionary Barbara Marks Hubbard, and she is going to educate us on some classic ideas about living life. And now in the previous segment, I think you talked about vocational arousal. Is there any other kind of info you want to add on what that means?
Well, vocational arousal is when you get a sense of life purpose, something that you're born to do. You get turned on inside to want to be creative. And that means you get vocationally aroused to find people you can create with, because, like, let's say doing your radio show, you can't do this all by yourself. Mm-hmm. So you have to find people who want to do this with you. Then you have to find people like me who want to be on the show. So mm-hmm. let's say we could say in this moment we're vocationally connected with each other, mm-hmm. because you're a communicator and so am I, and so we are supporting each other's life purpose. Mm-hmm. And when you just get started with your life purpose, you're looking for, like I did with Abraham Maslow, you're trying to find who attracts you that you could attract to help you co-create. Mm-hmm. So when you are attracted sexually, you know, I call it the sexual arousal, mm-hmm. is really to procreate. That's what nature is thinking of.
Right.
Now, vocational arousal is an attraction to co-create. And I'm making a suggestion by my own experience and that of thousands of people that I've talked with, that the impulse to be creative is the next stage of the impulse to be procreative. Mm-hmm. It's the sexual drive become the creative drive, and as we live longer and longer lives and have fewer and fewer children, particularly in the women, you find this uprising of creativity after the age of 50.
Oh my goodness.
50, 60, 70, 80, like myself, and I'm calling this regenopause.
Oh my gosh, you are naughty.
You know, we're regenerating because I don't think that I'm what I thought an 82-year-old would be like. because my image of aging was truly running down, running out, losing vitality, losing. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it's going the other way. Mm-hmm. Now, it's true my body is aging, but my vitality, particularly because I have a life purpose that is very demanding. I mean, I am up at 5 in the morning, I am meditating, and then I'm writing, and then I'm on my email, and I'm traveling.
Wait, share with the audience, because they probably have no idea how old you are. I mean, but that sounded awful, didn't it?
82. No, 82. I'm proud of it. I have no sense of age.
Yeah.
You see, I'm not age specific. Mm-hmm. When you are turned on by your vocation, the impulse of evolution does not have an age. Mm. Mm. The impulse of creativity is not age specific. So the more that you are saying yes to your own creativity, the less you feel related to any specific age.
Okay, I love that. That is the best. You are good at shifting perceptions.
Yeah, and you know, as long as you're not really sick, it doesn't matter. But you can get sick at any age, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, illness can strike you at any age. But the what I'm finding is the greatest activator of health after a certain age is vocational arousal.
Yeah, I love the idea. And I feel a little bit like I'm a sleaze because I'm like basically co-creating with everyone every week. What does that say about my reputation?
Well, that's suprasexual co-creativity. You found a perfect way for forever evolving.
Ah, that's what supersex? So what does that mean to have?
Yes.
I'm a supersex person. I love it.
Well, you see, supersex gives you the energy to create, because what nature wants from us now is not more babies, but more wisdom and creativity.
I love that.
Isn't that true? How may I ask how old you are?
I'm 49, going on
okay.
10 years old.
Well, you see, you're just crossing over into regenopause.
I know. Now I didn't know until you told me, but now I know.
Because
I do feel
you
like
see,
I'm getting more alive, though. I do feel that.
You feel what?
I do. You said regenopause is when you actually get more alive, and I do feel like I'm getting more alive. Because I found my purpose. I think I found my purpose. I think it's doing the show. But that feels more like
I can see it in you because you're doing it with real meaning. You know, you're really trying to find out. Some interviewers are very routine. They just say this and they don't pay any attention to what you say. And then they ask you another question. You can see they're going down a list. Mm-hmm. Where you're responsive. You are following what I'm saying. You're building on it. You're inspiring me. So you're very good.
Thank you. Thank you for my vocational arousal confirmation.
Yes.
So supersex means you're giving energy to create wisdom and creativity. I love that.
Yes, that's what it is.
I love that. Now, and unfortunately we have to end. I want to talk to you again.
Okay, well, we'll do it another time. I'll be in Seattle. Well, I mean, maybe you'll see me in Seattle.
Yeah, I think we should do a video because this was so fantastic. I just love your energy. You are a total hoot and an inspiration to me. I am just so thrilled to have met you. It really, truly is an honor to meet someone who is as visionary and had the courage to like just go forward. It's a true honor to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. And thanks, everyone, for your listening to In Presence. Much gratitude to WBLQ. And join us next week when we talk to Raghini Michaels and we have an in-depth exploration of self-love. Have a great weekend,
everyone.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.
Stop. Get out of that car. Stop living your life in the passenger seat. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com and let us help you drive.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio, a higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transform your life.
I used to be afraid, and now I love. I feel like fear just cripples you and love frees you. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing and changing from fear to love and showing people that that's the only way. I love, I love, I love. I no longer fear. Thank you.
Hey, everyone. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Don't touch that dial. We'll be beginning a brand new show at the top of the hour with one of our amazing hosts, Transformation Talk Radio. Talk radio to change the world.